Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Sports Friday edition of Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True, and I am so grateful to have you as a supporter and a listener of the show. If you've been riding with the show since March the 21st, 2011, when it first premiered, or if today is your first day, thank you so much for your support and tuning in. Again, sending much love to all listeners and supporters, but definitely sending hugs and kisses and prayers to all friends and supporters on the East and Coast and Northeast Coast. Wow. Hoping everything, praying for everything to get back to normal, which, you know, down here in the Deep South, that is just a part of our life, but We, again, when we experience storms, ice storms and snow, we are frantic. And we do not wish bad weather of that sort on anybody. And then this is a history-making storm also. And just so sad, I just cry when I watch the images and the stories in regards of what happened. But then also I get happy and smile also when I see the stories of heroes, those who are, and those that have been so kind to one another in the hospitality that's going on, and it's just amazing. I love this picture that I seen, the image of President Obama and Governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, and Obama's embracing this survivor of Sandy. And right before the show, I just posted images of firefighters and rescuers saving owners and their pets. You know, a lot. I'm an animal pet lover, and I know many of you are, and just amazing how people are really coming together. But we've been coming together, have we not? And it's just amazing to see that. And, you know, the state of Mississippi is doing whatever it can do along with other states because you all have definitely been there for us down here in the Deep South. So, again, thank you for tuning in. Here's my favorite teen sensation, David J. What's up, David J?
Yeah. David J. Check it. Yo. Yeah. Yo. Check it. Yeah, that's a good trick. 55 minutes sitting down working at my brain. I'm at school flipping, man. I know that it's lame, but I'm trying to graduate and do something with my life and go to college, start a family, so get all my hype. And I'ma get an A+. Swag on the one, I ain't trying to ride the bus. Walk the stage with my peers, David killing me a year. Afterwards, celebrate, party, roll some way. Late to the party, cause the name is David J. You want my schedule for the nickname Trey. Polo and Dockers every day. Polo, 80 years from now, man, I'm still beefing. Ain't trying to fail class, and ain't trying to finish that. I work at school all day, and in the night, throw a hash. 4th grade on the GPA, that means I get that.
I know I have to plug him, though. He's so awesome, so cool. You never know, you know? It's awesome. He's based in Beaufort, Georgia, but he's a military kid, and I must commend his parents for an awesome job, and just a big shout-out to he and his classmates, because He and I are Reverb Nation friends and fans of one another. And back in, I've been jamming this song, School, and I'll add more of his songs to the playlist in the near future because we've been networking with one another. But he sent me a note and was like, hey, you check my music out. And I'm like, oh, my God, you are awesome. You know, he's like a Martin Day. I know I've said this before, but he's like a Martin Day Fresh Prince to me. You know, Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince to me, just amazing. And he is multi-talented, plays on instruments, mix, produce, and so on. So check him out on ReverbNation.com, and then you can link up with his YouTube channel and tweet him and also like his Facebook page. But an amazing, amazing talent. Here's DJ Swan representing San Antonio. And remember, we're still profiling NFL coaches. And before going farther, congratulations to the Giants. San Francisco in the house.
Thank you.
SoundCloud, and many of you probably are very familiar with his music anyway, because he is hot.
What up, though? It's your host with the most, Big Snoopy Deagle Double G, and you inside this techno dance mixtape brought to you by, that's right, y'all, BLE, radio station BLE, on your dial. You dig? We're going to kick it off with a little something like this. We'll be right back.
funky, Funk Logic, and that's the right name for it because it's definitely funky. Straight from Mississippi, homie, Snoop Dogg, love networking with him on SoundCloud.com because SoundCloud, you can really, in Reverb Nation, you can just post your music like it ain't nothing. So he's always sharing awesome music of not only his own, but artists that he work with and dig. Their music are just amazing. That's Snoop Dogg, Funk Logic. And there's an artist I was checking out right before the show, and Reg Ruffnick is on hold also. Chris Paul and Dwight Howard both wanted to play for the Mavericks a year ago. They both were working out a master plan where they would play together on the Dallas with the Dallas Mavericks. I'm checking out this article, like, I was checking it out right before the show. But, you know, it's something that we knew all the time. And I love networking with my favorite athletes. And so for years, Chris Paul can tell you, even though Hornets is like my second favorite team, I always get on Chris Paul about, you need to be a Maverick, you know. And they're at great teams right now. Chris Paul doing his thing with the Clippers, and Dwight Howard's doing his thing with the Lakers. But thank God those Mavericks tore into them and won the opener this week. So that's amazing. Hey, the D-League, the 2012 NBA D-League draft is happening, powered by Cisco Web X. It's going to be held this evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can check them out at NBA.com, the NBA D League, the NBA Development League, the home of NBA prospects, will be holding their D League draft. And I'm checking out everything right now because I received this email. And you can be a part of an interactive chat with the experts and fans and prospects, and also be a part of a real-time draft board, and plus be a part of a live audio feed at the draft conference call. And I'm checking out the info right now as we speak. That's what I'm reading from. And let's see. I'm checking out some more info. D-League. And the picks. Teams are pick 1, Fort Wayne Mad Ants, 2, Sioux Falls Skyforce, 3, Idaho Stampede, 4, Maine Red Claws, 5, Reno Bighorns, 6, Tuxa 66ers, 7, Rio Grande Valley Vipers, 8, Texas Legends, 9, Iowa Energy. The 10th pick would be Canton Charge, 11, Bakersfield Jam, 12, Erie Bayhawks, 13 would be Santa Cruz Warriors, and 14, Springfield Armor, and then 15 would be Austin Toros, and 16 would be the Los Angeles Defenders. Those are the pick choices for round one. So just check out NBA.com and check out their NBA D-League section of NBA.com, and you will be... and also check out NBA TV also. I'm going to tweet this out also too. I'm tweeting it out right now. So you can just hook up and be informed, those of you that didn't know that was happening right now. Pretty awesome. What's up to my friends in the chat room? Deb Shepherd's in the house, keeping us educated with how to spend money and keep money and save money. And my friend in the Netherlands in the chat room, so we're this is good. We're having a fun time. Maybe Deb Shepherd will call us also and chat. But let me go ahead and do a quickie regarding the profile of the NFL coaches, and then we'll talk with Reg Ruffnick, and I'll continue chatting with my friends in the chat room, and if they decide to call in, that's cool also. If today is your birthday on November the 2nd, happy birthday to you. If it's your anniversary, same thing. I have relatives with birthdays coming up, and a host of friends' birthdays today, I'm sure. Just happy birthday and have an awesome, awesome weekend. You know, I like playing that hype music, just to get us hyped up regarding the weekend, and there's a lot of sports news to talk about, but, you know, it's hard to focus thinking about the devastation that Sandy left, you know, so I always feel like I need to, like, share and give an update, provide an update of what's going on with Sandy. And I was watching on World News Now early on ABC, and they were talking about the scammers. Already how the scam companies have started, like, trying to scam people. And the other day, I was, you know, the looters already had started doing their thing. The storm wasn't even gone good, and people were looting and stuff. So that's crazy. They're still finding bodies and stuff. I need to be trying to save your life and get to a safe place and help others, you know. But, you know, well, I guess I'll just be quiet. But we just have to pray, huh? Most definitely. So I'm going to play a PSA. Oh, what are my friends saying? Oh, Deb Shepherd said cockroaches have been around for centuries. Most definitely. Talking about those whom looting just don't have a heart or care and have no compassion for others during this time of need and time where people need to be embraced. Even those that are, because here in the Deep South, I've been living here, born and raised in the Deep South for 44 years now, and each storm, each tornado is different. And to experience a storm like Sandy, oh, my God. So even people who think maybe the house wasn't damaged or home wasn't damaged, think of the emotion or the stress. Because I've heard so many people talk about how scared they were. You know, just being in the complete darkness, not being able to see their hand or see their body, just emotionally scarred people. And so just because somebody's where you might think, well, where they weren't affected by the storm, everybody's pretty much shaken up. I'm shaken up just watching the images. Like, oh, my God, you know? So, yeah. So most definitely. You're right. Looters, yeah, looters are sad. Sad, huh? Talking to my friend in the chat room. But here's Gangnam Style, and then we will talk about the coaches and...
Gangnam Style.
sounds good right there. That's from Tim Ismay. That's the Troll Mix. And check more of his music out at SoundCloud. Hey, I just got an email from Lewis Howes. Y'all know how much I love Lewis Howes, sports marketing guru, business guru. And last week, he and his partner, Sean Malarkey, they hosted an awesome webinar. And also, I shared a picture of he and Sean from last evening where they were DJing and stuff, and it was a funny picture. But speaking of this email, this is serious business. Lewis will be hosting another webinar next week. You know, that's how he and Sean became millionaires within 3 years, hosting awesome webinars and getting the word out regarding their awesome endeavors. And this is from Lewis again, How to Master Anything, a special call with Robert Greene. Did you ever want to be a great something? I didn't want to be a good football player because, you know, his ambitions, he wanted to be a successful NFL player. He was injured when playing for the Arena Football League, and that somewhat he thought that was the end of his career as an athlete, but he's a very successful athlete with the New York Handball Club now. But you know what? He's 29. To me, I don't know. Maybe he can still play in the NFL because I don't know. Only he knows how his injury is. But he's successful playing on the handball league, you know. But back to his email. I didn't want to be a good football player. I wanted to be the best. I didn't want to be just okay at building a business. I wanted to be outstanding. I know that you and me, we think a lot alike. You don't want to just go about your life being okay at what you do. You really want to master your passion, right? If not, then the rest of his information probably isn't for you. If you want to be outstanding, I had to reread it and make sure it wasn't a real personal email. This is about the webinar. So I'm like, okay, if you want to be outstanding at anything, then you need to become a master of your craft first. Within the next week, we've lined up our biggest webinar guest this week. And guess what? He's the expert on how to become a master. So this is not just for people, though, because, you know, he advises us on how to get jobs in the sports industry and just be successful in life in regards to our personal lives and business lives. But this is not just about getting a job in the sports industry. This is about becoming a master in whatever industry you are working in. Okay, and he says, that's right, I'm talking about international best-selling author Robert Greene. Robert is the author of 48 Laws of Power, which has sold millions of copies around the world, and his latest book, Mastery, teaches you the exact principles of becoming a master at anything. So anything, so, you know, anything. And go ahead and, to me, visit lewishowes.com, and you'll see the information there. But you can also go to webinar.com and just look for Lewis Howes webinar. And he says on this, this information isn't something to take lightly. Robert has uncovered the real principle through years research that all of the most successful people in the world have used to reach the top. I want you to have this information as well, and this is a great experience to get 60 minutes of insider interaction with the master himself, Robert Greene. So, you know, so stay passionate. Those of you that are interested, be sure to hurry up and register, because I'm registering like ASAP, you know, because this seems like a webinar that should not be missed, most definitely. So. I know I was getting ready to talk about the coaches, but when I seen this email, I'm like, okay, Lewis know I'm on. He's probably listening to us. So what's up, Lewis? Lewis is tweet him at Lewis Howes. He's on Facebook at Lewis Howes. He's congruent. LewisHowes. He is the founder of Sports Executive Association, which I'm a member of. And if you all recall a couple months ago, my friend BT, our cohort, whom I met because we're both members of Sports Executive Association, his son is a rookie with the Atlanta Hawks. And when he was a guest on the show back in August, he talked about his son. His son is doing good. Those of you in Atlanta, those of you that have been keeping up with Atlanta Hawks games, Mike Scott, number 32. That is Michael's son, Michael H. Scott. His show airs on Wednesdays here on blogtalkradio.com, PHP Network, where he likes to interact and get parents to come together and youth come together and people who love young people like myself in regards to keeping young people focused on, you know, what's important in sports and being mentored properly also. So I just wanted to share that also and remind you all pretty much, those of you that are unfamiliar with Lewis Howes. He reminds me of Tony Robbins, who I am so crazy about. But I wanted to go ahead and share that with you because I was ready to talk about the coaches. We'll talk about the coach and talk to Reggie next.
Wow. Should've, could've, would've, if I knew back then what I
And like any NFL coach worth his playbook, Billy can quote that cowboy hat wearing sage and coking legend Bum Phillips, who once said, "There are two kinds of coaches, those who have been fired and those who are going to get fired." Whoa. So, you know, I always hear that, too, that, you know, this is just something annoying for coaches. This season, like any other in the NFL, there's no shortage of coaches battling to save their jobs. But I know it hurts if you're getting fired from a $400K-month gig. So the bottom line is produce, and, you know, not be a slave driver to your players, but you got to keep them motivated and keep them working hard. But, you know, it's kind of sad, though. Some teams and some coaches, they just can't win for losing. It's not that they're not good teams, but something just happens where they don't make that winning score, you know? And back to Andy Reid. Andy Reid, in his 14th season with the Philadelphia Eagles, is trying to steer his year and career away from the guardrail. He fired defensive coordinator Juan Castillo during a bye week with his team when they were 3-4 and has been contemplating a quarterback change from Michael Vick, who will start again on Sunday, to third-round draft pick Nick Foles. So Andy Reid is kind of scared for his job. Def Shepard saying it's like people, those who have died and those who eventually, yeah, the day is coming eventually, huh? Wow. But, you know, my thing is, I want that longevity. We all want that longevity. In our careers and in life. Romeo Crennel is proven his 24-40 record as head coach in Cleveland was no fluke. He is 1-6. Ooh, doesn't look good for him. He is 1-6 with the Kansas City Chiefs, who are the only team in NFL history never to have held a lead in his first 7 games. When asked why Pro Bowl running back Jamaal Charles touched the ball only 8 times Sunday in a toss to the Raiders, Crennel sent Chiefs fans into a tizzy by saying, "I'm not exactly sure. Oh, my God." I guess it's best to be speechless than to just show uncertainty about certain plays. Carolina, oh, yeah, Carolina Panthers. Oh, my God, I don't know what's going on with Carolina Panthers. And then the only game they won was when they beat the Saints. I love me some Cam Newton and the Panthers, but, I mean, that's the game they won when they beat the Saints. Carolina Panthers coach Ron Rivera. I know, I can't help but giggle about this. Beaten out the door by fired general manager Marty Herney, must pin his hopes on quarterback Cam Newton, who is frustrated by losing that 2 weeks ago. He asked the media and fans for suggestions on how to stop it. The Panthers are 1-6. And then here's a part about Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett of Dallas Cowboys received a vote of confidence this week from owner Jerry Jones. Say, okay, Jerry Jones believing in him. But every coach knows those come with expiration dates. Once thought to be coach's next boy wonder, Garrett is 11-12 over the past season and a half, and he can't fix mistake-prone quarterback Tony Romo, whose turnovers have led to a 3-4 record. Exactly. I won't say anything. San Diego Chargers coach Norv Turner hasn't made the playoffs in 2 years. Norv, in entering Thursday night's game against Colonel and the Chiefs, has lost 3 games in a row. Ooh. Okay. I know. And it's still going on. The old Miss Def Shepard is talking about when he was a kid living in Mississippi, the old Miss Mississippi State thing used to kill him. And it is still going on. It's still going on. Hot. And that's when when old Miss Mississippi State played, you almost know, especially if the team needs that win, you know whatever school loses that game, you know which coach is going to be reprimanded or handed the pink slip. Yeah, that's an amazing. When they meet up, that's a thing. And then separately, their games are hot because I intend on talking a little bit about our Mississippi colleges and universities if we get a chance to talk about the games this weekend. But, man, so You people get stupid. Yeah, they most definitely. But you know, we don't have a major league team here, but we love our student athletes in college sports, and it's like mad crazy. I know, and we produce so many that do go on to play professional sports. But yeah, people get stupid. That's what Deb Shepherd said. Yeah, people do get kind of crazy. Oh, yeah, Tony Dungy. I thought he had been talking about another former Super Bowl title since he sees the hand of desperation in Philadelphia, where fans said, fire Andy Reid, fire Andy Reid. But then also speaking of Cam Newton, I heard that he's experiencing, what is it? It's, last year he was a freshman, a sophomore, like jinx or something. Last Friday I was listening to ESPN, and it was a big topic about the quarterbacks, second-year quarterbacks, and the pressure that the likes of Cam Newton and others are under in regard of trying to maintain their you know, successful plays and just living up to the to what they are and also to the hype. So, I don't know. I think I need to, I just wanted to bring that up. Check out that article. I'm sharing it because I don't want us to run out of time. And we'll continue to talk about that. And then, you know, we received sad news yesterday also in regards to a former Major League Baseball player. And I'm sure Red Roughneck want to talk about that. So I won't get started on that. But that was a sad story how this former MLB baseball player was murdered in his own home due to a home invasion and stabbed. So that is just so sad. So let me go ahead and let's talk a little bit about Lovey. See, we've been covering and profiling NFL coaches and interim coaches since like the first week of September, even profiled the commissioner. And I love the commissioner's story. He honestly developed within the league, and now he's the head honcho. So it's just amazing. So let's go ahead and I know it's so much to talk about. And Red Roughneck's on, I guess Red said, I'm ready to talk. But I want to get that out the way. Okay. I know. I'm going to play a PSA, and then we will talk to Red Roughneck and talk about Lovie Smith. I want to talk about two or three coaches, but it looked like we might be able just to cover Lovie Smith. And I don't think I play All I Do Is Win. That's one of the, that's a motivating song.
Man, drop that shit for these fuck niggas.
Oh,
sounds so good. Yes, that's the Wicked Trap Wagon remix on SoundCloud. Yes. But I received it when I received that song Click with Kanye West and Jay-Z a couple months ago. I guess some of Kanye's people, Jay-Z's people sent me that Click, and that Wicked song was nearby. So I started working with them on SoundCloud. So shout out to all of those, all of you, mainstream, underground, indie, who hooked me up with music to play, to add to the playlist. But Lovie Smith, I'm checking out Wikipedia. I'm checking out a picture of him at 2007 training camp. He is only 54, and he is a native Texan. He's from Gladewater, Texas. And his head coaching record is 77-58-0 in postseason 3-3. His career record is 80-61-0. Many of you already know this because a lot of Chicago Bears fans and just fans of Lovie Smith are fans of the show. NFC North, he's won the championship, NFC North 05, 06, and 10, and also the NFC championship of 06. Teams that he have been a coach or administrator at, 1980, Big Sandy High School defensive coordinator, 81-82, Cassia Hall Prep, he was assistant coach, defensive back and wide receivers, 1983 to 86, Tulsa linebackers coach, 87, Wisconsin linebackers coach, 88 to 91, Arizona State linebackers coach, 92, Kentucky linebackers coach, 93, 94, Tennessee defensive back, backs coach, 95, Ohio State defensive backs coach, and 96 to 2000, he was the linebackers coach for Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 01 to 03, he worked as defensive coordinator with the St. Louis Rams, and 04 to present with the Chicago Bears as their head coach. Lovie Lee Smith, he has been to the Super Bowl twice as a defensive coordinator for the 2001 St. Louis Rams and as the head coach of the Chicago Bears back in 06. That was a good game right there. And Lovie was born in Gladewater, like I said, and raised in Big Sandy, Texas. He was named after his great aunt, Lavanna, during Smith's. So you learn trivia stuff. And who knew Lovie was named after his great aunt? during Smith's high school career in Big Sandy, he earned All-State honors for 3 years as a defensive end and linebacker. His team won 3 consecutive state championships in 73-75, including a 0-0 tie in 1974 versus Salina High School of legendary coach G.A. Moore. In 1975, Big Sandy had one of the most dominant seasons in high school football history, as the defense allowed only 15 points, 11 shutouts all season, while the offense featuring eventual Miami Dolphins running back David Overstreet scored a then national record of 824 points. Smith played college football at University of Tulsa under head coach John Cooper. He was a two-time All-American at linebacker and safety. After graduation, he immediately pursued a coaching career. He was hired as defensive coordinator at his hometown high school in 80. A year later, he left to coach at Cassia Hall Preparatory School in Tulsa. By 83, he began coaching linebackers on the college level, first at his alma mater, Tulsa, 83-86, then at University of Wisconsin-Madison in 87, Arizona State University, 88-91, and the University of Kentucky in 92. He also served as defensive backs coach at the University of Tennessee from 93-94 and Ohio State University in 95. His professional career started when he became linebacker coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers under the guidance of Tony Dungy. He helped develop the Tampa 2 defense. After spending 5 years with Buccaneers, Smith was hired as defensive coordinator of the St. Louis Rams under head coach Mike Martz. While in St. Louis, Smith improved the Rams' defense, which went from giving up a lead worth 29.4 points per game in 2000 to an average 17.1 points in 01. The Rams won the 0-1 NFC Championship and advanced to the Super Bowl. The team ultimately lost to the New England Patriots in one of the biggest Super Bowl upsets of all time. I remember that. 2004-06, Chicago Bears hired Smith as head coach in 2004 following the dismissal of Dick Geron. He struggled during his first season with the Bears as the installation of new offensive and defensive systems and series of injuries, including a season-ending knee injury to starting quarterback Rex Grossman, contributed to a 5-11 record. Despite their poor offense, the Bears' defense saw some major improvement, rising from 22nd in 03 to 13-04. That was a big jump. In 05, history repeated itself when the quarterback Rex Grossman suffered a serious injury during preseason and missed a majority of the season. Despite Grossman's loss, Smith and Ron Rivera used a dominant defense and the timely play of backup quarterback Kyle Orton, to earn an 11-5 record. After starting the season with a 1-3 record, the Bears' defense finished second in the league in terms of yardage while allowing the fewest points in the league. The Bears' dramatic turnaround in 05 season earned Smith national recognition. He won the Associated Press NFL Coach of the Year Award that year after returning to the field following their first round bye. The Bears played the Carolina Panthers with a fully healed Rex Grossman as quarterback. Both Bears' offense and defense struggled to keep up with the Panthers and eventually lost 29-21. Nevertheless, Smith and the Bears were optimistic about the future. Smith and Bears management drew criticism in April 06 by trading away their first-round pick and drafting 5 defensive players. I remember that. The preseason criticism increased when the named Grossman, who struggled to move the Bears' offense during the preseason, as the Bears' starting quarterback. Grossman led the Bears to 7 consecutive victories, but struggled during the later portion of the season. Smith stood by Grossman through much criticism. The Bears finished the 06 season with a 13-3 record, earning the NFC's top playoff seed. The Bears finished the season with the NFL's second-ranked scoring offense and fifth-ranked overall defense. Smith led the Bears to a 27-24 victory against the defending NFC champion Seattle Seahawks during the 2006 divisional playoffs, winning the first playoff game of his career. Later, a 39-14 victory came against the New Orleans Saints at the NFC Championship. Smith became the first black head coach and the second minority coach behind Tom Flores to lead his team to Super Bowl just hours before Indianapolis Colts head coach Tony Dungy. His good friend and mentor became the second. The two friends together became the first black head coaches in the Super Bowl. The Bears lost 29-17, and Smith earned the somewhat numerous honor of being the first African-American head coach to lose in the Super Bowl. In 07 to present time, following Chicago's successful season, Smith requested a pay raise. I remember that, don't you? The lowest paid coach in NFL in 06 at $1.35 million, Smith would have earned $1.45 million the final season of a 4-year contract. After a stalemate in contract negotiations, the Bears signed Smith to a new 4-year contract worth $22 million on March the 1st. However, he parted with defensive coordinator Ron Rivera, who was not re-signed after his contract expired. Additionally, 4 other members of Smith's coaching staff also left the team. Yeah, I remember that. In 07, Smith, confident in Grossman's abilities, named him the team's starting quarterback over Kyle Orton and Brian Greasy. After the team started the season with a 1-2 record, Smith announced that Greasy would replace Grossman. Greasy led the Bears to a 2-3 record, but sustained an injury in a game against the Oakland Raiders, which allowed Grossman to become the team's starting quarterback again. However, Grossman was later injured in the season and temporarily relieved by Greasy. Smith ultimately allowed Kyle Orton to finish the remainder of the season, who led the Bears to a 2-1 record. The team's inconsistency at the quarterback position and failure to establish a proper running game contributed to the team's 7-9 finish. While the team finished last in NFC North, Smith was pleased that the team ended the season by winning their last 2 games. Bob Bobich, the team's defensive coordinator, was also criticized for his play calling. The next year, Smith and the Bears parted with their leading rusher, Cedric Benson, passer Greasy, and receiver Bernard Berrien. Smith declared Kyle Orton as the team's starting quarterback, who started the season with an upset victory over the Indianapolis Colts. The Bears proceeded to go 2-2 with two overtime losses. The team managed to avoid falling below .500 for the remainder of the season, but missed the playoffs after losing their season finale to the Houston Texans. Smith was pleased with the success of rookie running back Matt Forte and quarterback Kyle Orton, who finished the season with a 79.6 quarterback rating. After the season conclusion, Smith demoted Bobic, and took over defensive play calling responsibilities. He was also reunited with his longtime friend Rob Marinelli, who had lost his head coaching job with the Detroit Lions. Later in the offseason, Smith and general manager Jerry Angelo had conflicting views on the future of the team's quarterback position. While Smith was content with Orton, Angelo was more interested in creating a long-term solution to the position. Angelo traded Orton and the Bears' 09-10 first-round draft picks for Jake Cutler of the Denver Broncos. The team's high expectations were quickly grounded when the Bears struggled in the month of November, losing 4 of 5 games. The Bears were eliminated from the playoff race for the third consecutive year after losing to the Green Bay Packers during a Week 14 matchup. The loss marked the first time that the Bears under Lovie Smith had ever lost games to Green Bay in a single season. A week after the loss to the Green Bay, it was reported that despite rumors about changes to the Bears' coaching staff, Smith remained the team's head coach. Jerry Angelo, the team's general manager, refused to confirm these reports when addressing the media the following Sunday. Smith finished the season with consecutive wins against the Minnesota Vikings and Detroit Lions. His victory over Detroit marked his 100th game as the team's head coach. After the season conclusion, the Bears organization announced that Smith would return in 10. However, the organization fired offensive coordinator Ron Turner and three other offensive coaches. Turner was replaced by Mike Martz, who had been the head coach of the St. Louis Rams, and Smith was their defensive coordinator. Smith was relieved of his defensive play calling responsibilities, while Babic was officially demoted as the team's defensive coordinator. The Bears would go 11-5, but lost to the Packers in the NFC Championship game. In 11, the Bears went 7-3, but after losing quarterback Jake Cutler to a broken thumb, the Bears lost 5 straight, a first in Smith's career, and finished 8-8 at the end of the season. General manager Jerry Angelo was fired, and offensive coordinator Mike Martz resigned. Phil Emery, who worked for Smith during over 4 seasons as an area scout for the Bears, became the new Bears general manager. Bears offensive line coach Mike Tice replaced Martz as offensive coordinator. He's married to his wife, Marianne Smith, and they have 3 kids, Mikael, Matthew, and Miles. Smith, whose mother is blind because of diabetes, is an active supporter of the American Diabetes Association. In addition to participating in various events for the ADA, he also donates 10 tickets to every Bears game. See, that's something I didn't know. He donates 10 tickets to every Bears game to children suffering from diabetes. That's cool. He and his wife are also the founders of the Lovie and Marianne Smith Foundation, a program which donates college tuition funds towards impoverished children. He was the Grand Marshal for the USG Sheetrock 400 NASCAR Nextel Cup Series race at Chicagoland Speedway on July 15, 07. He is also a devout Christian and has contributed every month to Brown's Chapel, his former Methodist church in Texas, even though he no longer resides in Texas. In 12, he was inducted into the Texas Sports Hall of Fame along with Bubba Smith, Dave Parks, Andre Ware, Mac Brown, and Fred Couples. So, all praises to him. Amazing, amazing coach. And that is Lovie Smith, native of Big D. Not Big D, of Texas, I mean. I have Big D on my brain, huh? And that's amazing. Successful coaching record. And I talked about his coaching tree of And also, for more information, you can check out ESPN.com. Look for Big Sandy Loves Sandy. You also can check out a soft-spoken guy named Love is a Perfect Fit for Bears from MSNBC. And also, ChicagoSports.com, ChicagoTribune.com. It's David Hall. Also, there are just some other information regarding Lovey and his career. So that is amazing right there. Yes, yes, yes. So let's holler with we'll talk more about other coaches with the NFC and the remainder of the coaches that we need to talk about, interim coaches and head coaches in the league of the NFL. And I have some Tiger Woods news also. He's been feeling fatigued, so he was unable to participate within a tournament this weekend. Even though he participated in an exhibition event, he was very fatigued feeling, and he wants to, you know, he's considering himself on his off season now and would like to prepare for his next big event next year. So if I get an opportunity, I'll tell you more about Tiger Woods news, et cetera. But let's talk with Reg Roughneck. And look like we're going to be going on at 7:30 instead of ending at 7. But there's so much information. And while Reg is sharing much knowledge with us, I will be checking out on Sandy News also. Because it's good when we can bounce off one another, because I can be doing other things. Because, I mean, it's like multitasking everywhere. I mean, for real. My goodness, I definitely need to get that equipment that I want so bad from Guitar Center. Pro Tools and all, man, I just be having a ball hosting the show and producing music. But let's holler at Reg Roughneck after this PSA, and it's on.
Daniel nació 2 meses prematuro. Su corazón y pulmones no estaban listos. Lo único que podían esperar sus padres era que algún día saliera sano del hospital y vivirían felices para siempre. Más de 500.000 bebés nacieron prematuros el año pasado. Usted puede ayudar a March of Dimes para que lleguen más bebés sanos a sus casas. Aprenda cómo en nacersano.org. Colaboremos para que los bebés nazcan más fuertes y sanos.
This is the story of Daniel, who was born 2 months early. His lungs weren't ready. His heart wasn't ready. His parents could only hope that one day he would leave the hospital healthy, and they would all live happily ever after. Daniel's is just one of the more than 500,000 stories of babies born prematurely last year. You can help the March of Dimes stop premature birth and bring more babies home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.com. Working together for stronger, healthier babies.
Me, I started smoking when I was 13. I always thought when the time came, I could quit. No problem. Then at 28, I tried to go cold turkey, and I found out how hard it really was. I made it all day without a smoke. Right until I met up with the guys. But I learned something that night. In fact, every time I tried to quit, there were more than a few, I learned a little more about what worked and what didn't work for me. And when I realized that I wasn't alone, that most people don't quit on their first or second attempt, I knew there was still hope. Today, I'm an ex-smoker. My only advice is to never, ever give up trying to quit.
If you're trying to quit smoking, the American Lung Association is here to help every step of the way. Visit quitterinyou.org for tools, tips, and stories from smokers we've helped to finally quit for good. The American Lung Association. We support the quitter in you at quitterinyou.org.
Whoa. I'm supporting you all, those of you that are working on quitting smoking. If you're quitting cold turkey or you just, you know, gradually weaning yourself off of it, I'm supporting you. And thank you for supporting me also in my journey into getting back fit, the fittest that I've ever been in my whole god-dog life, okay? Here's Reg Roughneck. Grandpa Playboy, Reg Roughneck. What's up, Reg?
Good morning, my love.
Good morning to you. How you doing in Big D?
Man, slow motion. I woke up early this morning and just, you know, having
Big
one
D
of those type of days.
It can't be slow motion in Big D.
On my end, it is. As for what you're in, as far as what you're referring to, that's a whole other subject. But you know, we It's been a very frustrating month, to say the least. October is a month you want to just ball up and throw in the trash can as far as football-wise.
Wow.
I mean,
somebody has a birthday coming up, though. When's that birthday?
Yeah.
Wednesday.
Yeah. Wednesday the 7th.
Yep, so happy early birthday to Big Ridge. Grandpa
Thank
Playboy.
You.
How's grandson?
Grandson's doing great. I tried to go by there and surprise my daughter yesterday, but they had they was at the doctor's office, so I guess she was getting an examination, and I guess he was getting his examination.
Uh-huh.
So I'm gonna try to make time for him this weekend.
Ah, well, that's cool. My great niece will be coming in the springtime. So I have shared a picture of Kina, and I know you network with Kina, and I can believe I'd be a great aunt in the springtime. So anticipating the arrival of a little girl. Yup.
Oh, I love her.
So I know you. I can't imagine what you want to talk about because there's so much going on. Penn State news.
First thing I wanted to ask was all that Penn State news. Yeah, I was following that this morning. I see that there are further indictments. You know, Gary Shultz, the vice president, Tim Curley, athletic director, and Graham Spanier, the president, they're all facing some serious charges. And, I mean, obstruction of justice, perjury, and I think it was child endangerment. Yeah, they're facing quite a bit of things. And I guess, you know, that's just a sad footnote to an already sad situation. But it's like I had spoken earlier. I said that Sandusky is not the only person that I would hold accountable because, you know, that man, that was a sick man that was basically was doing what he wanted to do, and they enabled it by turning a blind eye and hoping that it would go away. And I just think that was worse than anything that was done.
And too many people was trying to preserve the image of the school than protect young people.
Exactly. It's just a sad commentary on society. But, you know, and then like you were saying about the hurricane, a lot of people were kind of stumped at how could a Category 1 storm cause so much damage. But it got all that, but, you know, people fail to realize water is truly the strongest force on Earth. You get the water stirred up enough, a whole lot of things can happen. And they were talking about yesterday about the size of the storm. They said the size of the storm was almost like 1.5 times larger than what Hurricane Andrew was back in the 90s. And that was a...
Some say it was large as Katrina. I'm glad we didn't lose... condolences out to the lives lost, but I mean, it was like 100,000 lives lost with Katrina, but they compared it to the size of Katrina, too. Wow.
Well, considering what Katrina had done in that area, you know, what was devastating was more than New Orleans was Gulfport and Biloxi. I mean, it looked like it was wiped out by a bomb the way it looked. And that was something that was the case of all those other storms over the years, kind of just came in there. And then the fact that Hurricane Katrina was a slow-moving storm, it just stayed there and just keep the area up even harder for a lot longer. That's just one of those things.
Because I was in Dallas when it happened, and my mom was like, well, Governor Haley Barbara declared a state of emergency that is coming straight. The eyes coming straight to the coast, and it most definitely came straight to the coast in New Orleans. Like,
right.
Man.
Right.
And then before I know it, people had evacuated to Big D. People from New Orleans was everywhere. I was like,
right,
man.
Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, they migrated out here, and more than half of them done stayed now. So,
a lot of people up here remained up here and opened businesses and found good jobs.
Well, I got family that live down in New Orleans. You'd be surprised how many people live down there and have never been anywhere. And it had to take that hurricane for them to realize, hey, there's more to life than just, you know, these few blocks that I go to and this little area that I live in. And then they realize, hey, there's a whole world out here. And, you know,
yeah,
some of them get
friends and loved ones down there. And I guess some relocated from New Orleans, like near City Park and so on, and relocated to Kenner, you know. But right when the storm hit, some of my friends and loved ones there, they did have to go to like Atlanta and spend some time with loved ones until like the power and stuff got back situated. But my loved ones and friends in New Orleans, they love them to New Orleans. They like, I'm going back to New Orleans. That's my city.
I kind of laugh at how some people feel that President Obama is milking the disaster to try to curry favor with some votes. And I'm like, okay, what next? You're going to blame him for the hurricane too?
Well, I think the president's doing a great job, plus Mitt Romney. Both sides are doing a great job in responding and just being human. You know, put down that campaigning, because this is real serious business. You know, and this is real serious.
I mean, that was basically the whole point I had made through that whole situation. That, you know, at the time you stop playing Democrat or Republican, you start playing like a human being that's concerned. And
I like this image. Of Obama hugging this Sandy survivor, and then there's Republican New Jersey Governor Chris Christie standing right there next to him, you know? And that's
right.
What it's all about. We're supposed to be there for one another regardless of, you know?
Well, I mean, we're such a divisive society, and we always want to make comparisons and always want to try to draw lines on this and that and the other and everything, and sometimes it gets to the point it gets ridiculous. But like I said, that's just, you know, that's the world we live in, so we have to just take it with a grain of salt, I guess.
Wow. Oh, my friend Ebony Empress, you talked with Ebony Empress before, my friend from Ebony's online. Do you ever listen to her shows? What are her co-hosts on her? She airs on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and her co-host on Tuesdays is a guy from Dallas, and named Hilton, I believe that's his name. Good morning, Ebony.
Yeah.
Hello, Ebony.
How are you?
Hello. Good afternoon to you. In
good
the
afternoon.
UK, how's everything?
Yeah, good afternoon. We actually have Hilton is on my show on a Tuesday night, and he's from London.
Okay, and
Thursdays I have Steve Devine Williams, and he's from Texas.
Yeah, now what city is he in? Is he in Dallas?
Yeah, I think he's from Dallas, actually.
That's where Red Rupnik.
What was his name again?
Steve Devine Williams, he calls himself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
Real Talk is on Tuesdays.
Yes.
And American Game is on Thursdays.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is Ebony Empress on the call with us. Great.
We had a show last night.
Yeah, I missed your show fun on Tuesday. Oh, that show was fun on Tuesday. But I missed your show yesterday. What was the topic?
Oh, last night was fun. We were talking about how to catch and keep and satisfy a good woman.
Oh, my God. I know the chat room was on fire then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If I had listened, I was going to call in. But the gentleman who co-hosts with you on Tuesday, oh, my God, he know he throws some knowledge out. He breaks it down.
Definitely. Definitely. I have a good team on both days, but both very different. On Tuesday, I think my team are a bit more UK-based.
Yeah.
And then Thursday, you have the American connection.
Yeah, it's more international. It's like American and international. But, yeah, I love both.
Yeah, they're both good.
So good tips were shared on yesterday?
Oh, yeah, you got to listen to it. It's very funny. Very funny.
Well, so what's the one next week? How to catch a good man?
Oh, no. Last week was how to catch a good man. How to catch and keep a good man. That was last week. And this week was the women, you know, the ladies' turn. But next week is actually talking about prenuptials.
Oh, I love it. That's a favorite topic of mine. I love the topic of prenuptial. I talked about prenuptials about a month ago on my Wednesday show. Yeah. How extreme some prenuptial agreements can get, especially what I talked about. How, you know, and how people. I think nothing wrong with prenups, to be honest.
To protect your money.
Yeah, when I talked about prenups about a month ago, it wasn't just about the money. Sometimes people want you to uphold a certain image or stay at a certain weight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's always all type of crazy entanglements involved with it, and
you're going to focus on the money part, but
we're going to talk about all areas, and it's not just money, definitely.
Because people want you to uphold a certain image, or you know, to always look a certain way. Some prenups include. Or just like some rider agreements that some celebrities ask for when they seek appearances. Some prenups are pretty much the same way, where you should have breakfast, lunch, and dinner at a certain time. I mean, they go to the extreme.
But Beth, do you know what? My next marriage, I'm going to have a prenup with a man. He needs to not have a bare stomach. You know that big belly, right? He needs to make sure that he can bend down and see his toes. I'm like, no, I'm not having a man with a stomach that makes him look pregnant. No, it's not happening.
Exactly. That's what I'm working on right now, on getting my flat abs back, you know. And when I get my flat tummy back, and I mean, my clock, unless before my clock stops ticking, I get pregos. That's the only time my belly better get back fluffy. So I am with you. That should be a self-imposed agreement that some of us should make.
Definitely. Okay. If I'm going to stay in shape, he needs to stay in shape too.
That's true.
Yes, a lot of men are hard on the women, but women, we pretty much sometimes let guys slide on things.
Yeah.
Really? That's debatable.
No, when it comes to certain, you know, some things, because to me, you know, sometimes some women might think, oh, you're just a little cute little teddy bear.
No. And I think as well, things like not just staying in shape, you know, making sure that, you know, they still bring the honey and stuff like that. You know, that's important.
And when it comes to intimacy, I think that's important too.
Absolutely.
You know, I think it's important to have some some outlines in that regard.
Oh yeah, put it down. Put it down.
Well, we're scheduling our days that we're gonna have it.
Exactly.
No days off.
Rotate the Tuesdays and Thursdays with Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays in the week. You know, okay.
No crying off with a headache or anything else. Okay.
Exactly.
Hey, take two of these and kiss me in the morning, huh?
Yeah, and it's just not that. I mean, mean, there are women that want, you know, want that outline. It's not just the men. I mean, we yeah. women. Hey, you know, there's a time. Hey, what's going on?
Sort it out. Unless you're sick. Unless, you know, you've got real health reasons why you should be out. Then you got to be in. You got to be in.
Oh, that's
going to
be Tuesday,
Thursday. Yeah, that's on Tuesday. On Thursday, we've not yet decided. But that's Tuesday's show, definitely.
Okay, that's election day here. But I always tend to
yeah.
get your Tuesday show. But Thursday seems like I miss sometimes, and I missed it last evening. So I definitely have to listen to the repeat. But
yeah, I'm always listening to your podcast because I miss you.
You want me to call in? You want me to call in so we can talk
yeah,
about
it? Yeah, that'd be nice. Call in. And your guest as well. I'm
yeah.
sorry, I've forgotten his name.
Fred Ruffneck.
Do you have the New York phone number that she that she has to call in?
I always have her post on my pages. She has a number
okay.
just like I do. She has a
yeah.
number
well,
like I do.
945.
She gave me the number the other day. So
yes,
I will be able to check in.
Yes. Oh, I didn't realize it was you. Who I'm talking to.
Yeah, you spoke to him the first time you called me. Remember?
Yeah. You're a granddaddy now too, aren't you? Are you a granddaddy now?
Yeah. Red.
Yeah. Okay. I missed the question. What was you asking?
She asked you about being a granddaddy.
Oh yeah, I'm a granddad now. Yes.
I know. You need to enter one of those competitions for a hot granddad.
Well, I'm gonna have to. Well, before I do that, I'm gonna have to lose this pot belly that you all are talking about. Cause that's the only thing that's gonna mess me up. So I know I got to get back to the gym. I've gained weight. I'm trying to get back down to like 230 or 235 is what that's my goal. But right now, 270.
Oh, okay.
And I'm hoping to get that thing resolved in the next few months. Especially, I'm about to turn 45 years old next Wednesday. So.
It's Wednesday, isn't it?
It's the 7th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the
7th, yes.
Well, you're still young.
One of my old friends, I ran into him at work day before yesterday. And he says, you know, he just turned 50 years old, and he said that he said he can still do like six sets of bench press at 225 pounds. Said he can max at 460 pounds. He said he's making sure he stays in top shape. He said he got some nephews and some and his grown son. And he said he has to every now and then remind him he's still the one hitter quitter.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he still got to put them on their back. The youngsters are getting a little out of hand. So
yeah.
I can relate.
I hear that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But
well,
do you have any
dates
scheduled this weekend? You have any schedule this weekend, Ebony?
Oh, I'm going to a wedding tomorrow. I'm going to, one of my best friends is getting married tomorrow. And she is going to have a wonderful day. I'm a little bit chilly here, but we're hoping the sun's going to shine for her. We had a hen night Saturday night, and there was about 30 women there, and it was a great night out. And definitely.
Now, your friend already married the one that found a love, like, in a few months. Now, that's not her wedding, right?
That's the one that's getting married.
Yeah, okay, it's her wedding. Okay.
Well, yeah,
I love that story.
She only met him about 5 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And they're getting married. And it's lovely. They've got grown kids. But they're ready to give it a try. So good for them. Congratulations.
I love that story. of how they yeah. met, and yeah. they just knew. And they
yeah.
just knew.
And they're gone for it. So I'm wishing them luck, and I've got my new dress, and I'm going to go out and represent. And I hear that there's going to be lots of nice single guys there, so I'm ready to
wow.
party.
Wow. So those of you who don't know, Ebony Empress is a relationship expert. And Reg and I, we talk our game and talk our talk. But Ebony Empress is a relationship expert. And we do advise people. But Ebony Empress is a relationship expert, and she's one of her friends that she has advised.
Yeah.
Found love in a matter of a month and getting married tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting married tomorrow.
Okay. So they're going to blame you for all this when it goes wrong, right?
Well,
that's
you know what? I'm very positive that this is going to work, because I think when you know what you want and he knows what he wants, do you know what? That's a marriage made in heaven. And very often when we meet people when we're young, we don't know. We don't know yet who we are and what we want. And the great thing about experience and age,
we know what we want. We know what we want, but we don't know what we need.
Yeah. You know,
it's a case of knowing what you want but not knowing how to go about getting it. It's a lot of things that people a lot of unrealistic expectations some people put on others. And not realizing that, you know, they have just as much to do in it as the other person, the team effort.
Yeah.
But some people don't understand that.
Yeah. Play street, you both have to work really hard. And I think they're ready to do the work. They've had their marriage counseling. And, you know, I think they're great. I think it's good. It's positive.
That's good when people are ready within their lives, because, you know, yeah. So that's good. I can see a successful romance in my future and maybe next year. But when you're not ready, you don't think when a person knows they're not ready. If you get into it takes a special person for them to get involved with for something to work out, right? A patient
yeah.
person.
Yeah.
But when a person knows, well, hey, I'm not ready. You know, yeah, I still need to get divorced. But even if I was divorced, I think as a divorcee, I still would be. There are some single people that I'm not ready. But sometimes you have to make yourself ready. But you know, there's just some tweaks I need to make in my life before I know I'll be like ready. But then my thing is being ready whenever Cupid strikes. You know, is there anything that I can? But it goes back to what we were talking about in your chat room. Because somebody was talking about where women like to change men, and I mentioned in the chat room, I was like, yeah, and we better be prepared for our significant other to want to change us, too. It's all about
yeah.
us growing
yeah.
together and changing
yeah.
together, don't
yeah.
you think? More so than...
Yeah, I think it's about the growth, but I think you've got to make sure your foundation is strong. So you
yeah.
make sure that you know who you are, what you know what you're about. You know, you can't know what the other person will be or how they may change over the years, but you can work yourself. You know, and that's the most important tool you have. That's your weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah. So we're going to deal with something. And Reggie asked a good question in his group last week. And you know, I can't even think of it, but it's all about having that. He always. Do you ever visit Reggie's Facebook group? Tell everybody about your Facebook
yes,
group.
Yes, I
Reggie.
Do. No, I'm in
yeah.
his group.
Yeah,
I'm in
so
group,
they,
right, she's in the group.
Yeah, yeah
some I'm in his
questions
group.
So on. So it's just so important to be strong.
It is. But
well, yeah, because you know one of the issues that I had put on is that what is it that we always expect out of others? That always wind up being a disappointment. I think that's definitely something that I'm going to probably post on there today, you know, just to make light of that. Because, I mean, everybody always talks about what they want, but then they always talk about how they want to get it when they talk about what somebody else can bring for them. You know, But people are good at saying, I can do it by myself, but really don't know exactly what it takes as far as that goes.
Yeah.
And that's true. I guess that's the point I was trying to get to, too, because you can say, well, I'm not ready, but if sometimes if you the right person come into your life, you need that support, you know? Sometimes that's what you need, a special person in your life.
I'm telling you, the biggest disaster, I mean, I'll put it like this. It's five things that normally will damage a relationship if you're not strong. And that's money, that's exes, that's kids,
and insecurity.
I was about to say fidelity, of course. And then, you know, like I said, then the last one is just egos.
Egos goes with insecurity.
A lot of people want to compete against each other instead of
absolutely
going with each other. They want to compete with each other. Well, I could do this. Well, I can do that. Well, I could be doing this if I wasn't with you and all that other stuff. It just turns into a pissing contest, and it's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they should be supportive of one another and not competing.
Support
is
important. But I give you guys a little real life tell, okay? I was dating this guy for like, I don't know, about 7-8 months. And he said, I'm not ready. I really need to go sort some stuff out in my life. And I was like, okay. So I backed off and I left him to get on with what he needed to do. And it's been about 9 months, and he called me yesterday, and he said, I want you to come down and spend the weekend and meet my family. I like, really?
Okay, and where are you?
Just right out of the blue.
Out of the blue.
Now, you might not be in a position where you want to do that. So what were your response?
Well, you know what? I always said that if there was a chance that would be the person that I would want to try and have a long-term relationship with.
So of course you agree then.
I'm curious. I'm going to go check it out and see what it is he's got to say.
Okay, well, that sounds good. You know what? That's a good point you make also, because he did up front tell you, wait a second. And that was mature of him, too, because at first I was thinking, well, he waited for you all to get kind of serious. But that was mature of him also to say, wait a second, let me get some things in order. But he is blessed that you're not in a serious relationship. That was a gamble.
Because
a big gamble.
That was a big gamble. Because you could say, well, I'm married now.
Well, you know, but that's the risk you take, because, you know, if you know someone's really into you, the chances are that it will take them a while to reestablish something else with someone else. So, I guess, in a sense, you know, we'll see. Because even though I'm not actually seriously seeing anybody at the moment, I still need to know what he's got on offer and what it is he's saying, and whether that can work for me. So, you know, I got a friend that said, oh, you need to ask him loads of questions before you go. And I was like, no, I just need to go and see what he's saying. And if I'm not happy with it, you know, I have my return ticket. You know, I can get up and I can walk. You know, there's no problem. I have nothing to do. Absolutely
nothing.
Good.
That's good. Yeah. You'll meet his family also.
Yeah. So I'm open to see what it is he's got to say. And I think sometimes as soon as we hear someone suggest something that might sound like they have an intention that's quite serious, we may decide that, oh, God, I need to know everything. Well, you know what? You don't need to know everything. You just need to know what you're saying, what's going on for you.
Because just like you gave him respect to get his stuff together, respect you. Now that he's come back into your life and getting your thoughts together, too.
Absolutely. And I might say to him, well, hold on. I'm not ready for what you've got. You know, I haven't heard it yet. But when I hear it, I might not be ready for it. So I always say to people, it's still your choice. It's always your choice, you know.
Wow. And you know what? That is some good advice you're sharing, especially for women, because Rachel probably knows this, because as a man, And there's some men are like clingy and won't give people their space. But I know guys like Reggie probably experienced what you're saying, where women don't really respect that space. They keep pestering you and bugging you. I won't say bugging you, but keep adding and don't give you
space.
That.
What I would say is they try too hard to try to make an impression as opposed to just trusting what the other man's saying. You know, they'll just trust what the man's saying. They want to force the issue and want to try to, like, make something happen when a guy's not ready and vice versa.
That's my point. Yeah, that's the point I was trying to make, because I understand guys and women where if I don't be persistent and keep in touch, he or she might forget about me. But some people can get overbearing. You're like saying, well, I told you I need to sort some things out.
Allow me to sort my stuff out. He told me. I took his word, and I let him go and sort out whatever it was. You know, that's it. You know, when you're ready to talk to me, you come and talk to me. He has. And, okay, I still need to know what it is. And you still need to know what it is before you make a decision.
That is a mature way of dealing with romance. Very
well,
mature.
Yeah, and that's usually the problem.
And there are people over 40, like all three of us, who still act like teenagers. So this is good advice for you teenagers that are listening, and good advice for people all ages.
What about Reggie? Reggie, what were you just saying? You were trying to say something.
What I was trying to say is that that was one of the things that kind of undid the relationship that I was forming. I had met someone on Facebook, as a matter of fact, and we wound up striking up a good conversation, and she actually came to Texas to visit me, and the first time it went excellent. But then I cautioned her about, you know, not talking too much about our relationship on Facebook, because people have a way of getting all catty about it and want us to just do something just to mess things up, because we already was in a long-distance relationship. You know, that was bad enough. But then, of course, there was a couple of other friends that, you know, she has a mutual friend, and then there was an acquaintance of mine that lived down here. See, the other guy, you know, he was talking a little too much, and then he wanted to try to make everything we do like it's a group thing. And I admonished him about talking about what we're doing on the, on the Facebook page. But anyway, make a long story short, of course, that's not the only person I talk to on Facebook. You know, I got 500 friends just in my group alone, not to mention I got 800, you know, friends on Facebook. I got, you know, and most people don't realize when you're talking on Facebook, it's a lot of chatting, it's a lot of flirting, it's a lot of entertainment and everything like that. And everybody kind of does that for those reasons. But then just like, I mean, people don't understand the dynamic of social media. So, like, when I post a question on there, my girlfriend started getting to the point she want to start scrutinizing every question I post. And she started thinking that every time I post something on there, it's got something to do with our relationship.
Ugh.
And I was like, duh. You know, I'm a head administrator in my group. I post questions all the time to start a panel discussion.
Yeah.
Just because I post something don't mean it's happening to me.
Exactly, because I post questions for feedback to discuss on the shows. Our blogs I write, you know. Like,
exactly.
I mean, she got ridiculous with it. I mean, if I had posted something about getting gang raped by gorillas, she'd be hitting me up talking about, oh, did you get attacked by a gorilla? You know, I mean...
This past Wednesday, Matters of the Heart was about who has the hardest when it comes to cheating, men or women. Because some of my favorite shows are Cheaters, Divorce Court, and it looks like to me it's about half and half. You know, so
it is.
So hardest when it comes to, you know, when you're supposed to be in a monogamous relationship, you know, who has it hardest?
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, and then somebody, people could think, well, oh, my goodness, she must be a cheater. No, I'm really a
calling in from my iPhone. So if somebody rings, they cut out the Skype.
And the music that played was like music that I do have on my playlist, and I was like, well, where did this come from? I'm not even standing near my computer, and I'm like, okay, paranormal activity. So, okay.
Well, now that we got that out.
But yeah, but that's a good point that you bring up, Reg, because I remembered you had that successful visit from one of your friends from Facebook,
right.
And I like it when you bring that topic up in your group. And me, I pretty much just use Facebook for networking. You know,
Let me tell you one thing that went wrong. You remember that time, I think you might remember this too, Sandra. You remember that question I had asked about, had you ever been in a romantic triangle?
Oh, yeah.
And what was the gist of it, and how did it play out? Man,
yeah.
my
I wish I had seen that question, because I would love that question, because that a polyamorous type relationship, or were you open? Was that an open relationship, or you would just love two people and then want them to bump into one another?
When I posted it, I was talking about a time in my life back in the late 90s that I was involved with someone who was who was going through a struggling relationship with another person. We eventually got together, but then her problem was she couldn't let go, because it was always this case of what woulda, coulda, shoulda been, and he kept blowing that in her ear. And then she started, sputtering around with us. And that went on for almost like a period of a few years before it finally, of course, it ended up bad. And then, of course, while she was sitting up there enjoying the fact she had two men vying for her, she wound up losing both.
That's what usually happens
in that situation.
That always happens.
Ebony, I know you hear that scenario a lot.
Yeah, I know that scenario. It does happen. But what I would say is, you know, it's one of those situations that you can't win. You can't win. You know, if someone, you know, I was talking to a friend this morning who liked somebody who was on my show yesterday. And I was saying to her, do you know what? The problem with that person who you like is that they've not really closed the door on a relationship they have with their baby mother, right?
Right.
You know, they're still visiting this person and having a relationship. I don't know if that's still the case, but it was a year ago. And I was saying to her, well, if that's still going on, he's never going to be open to have a relationship with you exclusively. And that's going to be a problem for you. So don't go there.
But you think he'll always be involved? You think he will always be emotionally involved with the baby's mama?
Well, it's an easy one, isn't it? If you're always visiting and you don't have a connection with that, with your kids, except, you know, you go to that house, you stay over, come on.
Oh, yeah? That kind of relationship. Oh, yeah.
Because
there are some people, there are some people I know are like real cut and dry. I only deal with them because of my child. But then when yeah, that is kind of weird. Then you wonder why your significant other is insecure. You're spending the night. What's going on?
Exactly.
Well,
but
that was something I didn't have to worry about when I was married.
Yeah.
When I was married, I mean, I basically let it be known. I haven't had an intimate relationship with my baby's mom since 1996. So of course,
yeah.
when I got married in 2004, I mean, it's like that part of the conversation should never ever come up. But my ex started things kind of bad. I mean, she never brought up child support when I was raising our daughter until I got married. Then when I got married, then she wanted to put me on child support.
Wow.
that was strike one right there. But then the other problem was she kind of started getting very catty herself. But then my wife at the time, she basically wanted to try to act like she had to draw a line and was going like, okay, if you got a call to speak to Reggie, you need to talk to me about it first. And then that's when I kind of had to check my wife about it. I said, no, it don't have to be that way.
No.
I told her, you kind of going a little over, stepping the line right there.
No, that's drama. That's drama.
Right. That's drama. Exactly. And I kind of nipped that in the bud. But, you know, it just always turned one mess into another. Like another time when me and my daughter, we was having problems about some other family. We had a family problem. But then my wife wanted to interject herself in the middle of that situation. I told her, I said, let me go upstairs and talk to her mother about the child. She insisted she wanted to come along and see what was going on, and I was like, no, you ain't stay in the car. But she acted like she just had to see what was going on. Then, of course, when we were in there talking, she had to jump in the middle of that conversation.
Ooh.
And that just got worse.
It's not
got,
the difference I am. I know there's a place for everything.
No.
Right, exactly.
That's drama.
It's you have to be a listener. It's a time and place for everything. It's a time for people to butt out of certain situations, too.
Yeah.
Right.
You can be supportive by butting your lips.
Right. Well, the thing I was trying to get my wife to understand was it was better for her to stay out of the situation before she be the scapegoat as to what was the problem. And that's exactly what happened. You know, so then when my daughter started acting out and everything, it was always because of my wife. Became the problem. And I was like, no. And then, you know, I'm sitting up there saying, well, no, it ain't got nothing to do with the wife. When I spanked my daughter about something, I was spanking my daughter because my daughter was wrong about something. But then it got to the point my wife's name started coming up in it all the time. And I'm like, no, that ain't got nothing to do with it. So the bottom line, you know, that's one of the reasons. That was one of the reasons why we got a divorce. Other than the fact there was always, as you were saying, too much drama. Because it wasn't that type of drama. It was, you know, involving friends in our problem. You know, my wife started getting points. She couldn't stop talking so much to everybody. And, you know, I'm like, there's just certain things you don't talk about. You know, like, if I come, like, perfect example. When I come home from work, I can hear her and one of her friend girls cackling, laughing, and everything like that. But then as soon as I walk in the house, all of a sudden it gets quiet, then all of a sudden the friend got to leave. So that's when you know someone's talking about you.
Yeah.
You know, so, because, you know, when I walk in there, they're laughing and everything, and I'm saying, well, okay, how was y'all day? Then all of a sudden they get quiet, look at each other, and they're like, well, girl, I got to go. Look, I'll holler at you later. I'll call you later.
About guys. It's like you guys talk about ladies. That's what that was about, probably.
No. I mean, we'll never know type of things. Because I'm like, if it was something that funny and that entertaining, normally when you walk in the room, they'll be like, yeah, what do you think about such and such? You know, it involves you in the conversation. What do you think about blah, 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 such and such? And then they'll laugh about it all over again and get you involved in it.
So it was more than just girl talk. So it was more than just girl talk. You know how girl talk is.
Well, I mean, of course I know, but that still don't mean that all of a sudden you gotta act like all of a sudden you're drawing up a diagram to escape from the penitentiary, and then when I walk in there, it's like, oh, it's the warden, and then everybody get quiet and they break apart. That was the mentality that they was having.
But that's a good point you made about talking about your personal life, putting all of it out there, because I'm a people person, and putting it all out there. And Ebony Empress, I mean, you're a relationship expert radio show also, and even you keep things private, right? There's a way to be public and still keep things private, because I'm a shy person, but I'm real out there, I'm a people person, and like sharing my life. I don't, because strangely, it was weird of me to even talk about my niece. I usually talk, Reggie and I, he's friends with my younger niece who's expecting also, but that's rare for me to even bring up my family members, and I definitely don't mention family members' names, unless it's a birthday.
But
some personal, you talk about yourself, but even if unless a husband or a wife or a significant other doesn't mind, I guess it's cool.
No, you got to keep your business. You got to manage your business.
Exactly.
But it doesn't affect other people, because you may be a blog talk host, but they're not a blog talk host.
And a people person, period, too. I've always been the person that dealt with people. Some people don't, just like some comedians, their family and loved ones, they take, Reg is a comedian. And I never hear Reg talk about crack on his loved one, even though he's a comedian.
I have my moments, trust me.
I have my moments. Yeah, he does have his mom. Well, he'll crack on his daughter and his daughter.
No, I think he's going to protect
it. It just really depends on what the subject's about. I will talk about it. But.
Ebony, one morning he went all off on his ex-wife. I was like, Rich! I'm like, your mutual friends are listening, going to call her and tell her what you're saying. He was like, I don't care.
And I didn't care, because it wasn't, I mean, it goes back to this. Everybody has a person that you can confide in, whether it's family members, friends, whatever. But that person that you confide in has to be also the person who, even when they see you walk in the room, they can still maintain a neutral type of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you start talking to people and then that person feel like they can come back in your face and confront you about something that's supposed to be private. Then that's not a friend where I come from.
That's a good point. And sometimes that same person is a person to be like, if you respond to that person, then they'll be the person like, well, you should have kept it private. You didn't keep it private.
Exactly.
Right.
But it can kill relationships. It can be really destructive, when you don't handle your business. Handle your business. I always say to people, handle your business. And especially when you meet someone who's already, has left a relationship that is damaging or long-term relationship, if they're carrying stuff from that previous relationship into the next relationship, that's not right,
That's not like one of your show topics, Ebony. Handle your business.
Handle your business.
All the time.
Definitely. You know, actually, that's my show on Thursday now.
Exactly. I'm not missing it because I like that. Handle your business.
But the bottom line is, in any relationship is the golden rule: doing unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Absolutely.
But I mean, one thing I cannot stand, and I'll tell anybody I despise the most, is a hypocrite. I despise the person that will hold you to a certain degree of accountability they can't even hold themselves to.
Absolutely.
You can't expect me to be faithful, honest with you, and always tell you the truth all the time, when every time you turn around, you're lying about everything.
True.
People have a lot of, you got a lot of people that implement hypocrisy, or they'll say something like, well, you didn't catch me, so you didn't know what I was doing.
That's a good point.
Your actions speak louder than words.
Yeah. That's sure right. Now, I have good friendships I mean, friendships like Reggie and I, we've been friends for since we were little kids, and other relationships and friendships, I have perfect friendships, but romances, I mean, the secret to my friendships, I need to apply to my love life. Because friendships are full of, my friendships are just full, are wonderful friendships. And then when we disagree with things, Reggie, even Ebony, you and I have been friends for like 6 months. And we, even when we know we might be on a different page, we tend to, okay, respect what each one is saying. And I definitely respect you when you're talking about relationships, because you're the expert.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And, friendships can last forever. You just click with people, but then in romances, I'm like, whatever is working with my friendships, I need to be in my love life.
Yeah, transfer the same skills.
It goes back to what Reggie was saying about being honest and
open.
And
yeah.
Just being there through thick and thin.
Yeah. Yeah. It's no different with a partner.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be there for that person, you know.
Right.
But I'm my friendships, either short-term friendships or long-term friendships, personal, professional, it seems like so open and so honest, you know, with one another. So those same principles need to be applied within a one's love life.
Well, I've got...
And we see people like that all the time. They're so successful when it comes to business or just
but
dealing with people, but their love life sucks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, don't feel like this. The only reason why relationship.
Are you there, Rich? I was just going to say.
No, I was just going to say the only. Oh, okay. Well, go ahead and say your part, Sandra. Go ahead and say it.
I was just
we have to
say,
try to.
Yeah, I was just going to say that same things that work for me are, you know, in a relationship. To always keep your word, okay, you know, to be a master of your word, to never make assumptions about anything or anybody, never make assumptions, never take anybody for granted, you know, and if at all of that fails, always do your best.
Always do your best.
Right, that's right. Excellent. Well, yeah. And, just to add to that is the fact that you always have to keep an open door policy when it comes to talking about issues.
Yeah.
Never feel like you got to always shut somebody out or shut them down, because that's never a good policy to follow. I mean, you always want to be able to, if you want to talk about something, let's talk about it. So, but one of the things, you know, and then, you know, never be too big or bold to apologize.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's another thing that people lose out on. An apology can go a long, long way, especially if it's sincere.
It sure can. Now, people that always say I'm sorry and apologize too much, they can be annoying too. But then there are some people that won't apologize, that won't say I'm sorry, or won't admit to being wrong. But anything, but you have to admit to, okay, man, I wasn't in the right place at that time, you know.
And let it
go. For the backhanded apology where they apologize, but they'll say, I'm sorry about what happened, but if you hadn't have done such and such, that wouldn't have happened. That doesn't matter.
That's not good. Doesn't that put, what is it, gas to the fire, Ebony, when you make an apology like that?
Yes, and I think as well.
A whole new argument. What do you mean?
It opens the door to another argument, yes.
It does.
The past me, I'm a more patient, I'm a patient person, but Reggie and I grew up together, and we kind of know each other, and the former me would say, what the F you mean? But nowadays I would say, what the F you mean if I wouldn't know what?
Oh, wow.
But like I said, that opens the door for a whole other argument, though. That's all it does. It's better just apologize for what you feel you need to apologize about, just move on.
You become like a victim, like, I won't say victim, but you'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe you're right. I won't let that happen again. Then you allow the person to run over you again and always accuse you of saying it's your fault or something. So even
no,
you can have
but then there's that one where you apologize about something, but then even after you said you accept the apology, but every time you get in an argument, you always bring him back up the same thing that happened like months ago.
Yeah. That's what I always see on divorce court. A couple's always mentioned to the judge. The reason, especially couples that be trying to make it work over and over and over again, they say the one reason it doesn't work because the person always bring it back up to them. They say they'll say they'll accept my apology and don't hold nothing against me, but they always bring it back in my face about something. Maybe the person cheated once, or maybe the person did something, spent some money they shouldn't have, but they say that the person always bring it back in their face. And then that'd be hurting them from working the relationship out.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It happens. It happens. I mean, you know, while you were talking about my family, that's one of my mother's biggest flaws. She can never leave a mistake in the past.
Yeah.
She will just dig it up and dig it up and dig it up. I mean, there, you know, there'll be times you forget about something. I mean, she does it to everybody. And then when you scold her about it, she's going like, well, if you hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have to be talking about it. I said, but you're still talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, everybody makes mistakes. You know, anybody who act like they don't make mistakes, that's not a person I want to be around anyway, because that means that person's
that's
God
true.
Or somebody. But I just really get, you know, I mean, it sickens me when a person can't let a mistake die.
Yeah. Holding on.
And especially if they say, okay, just don't let it happen again. Let's work on it. And because they're still bringing it up. Yeah, that's a good point.
Right.
Not good.
What do you think of that, Ebony, when people always say it's your fault and then don't let things
It's their inability to take responsibility. So if we don't take responsibility for our stuff, then we're going to hold on to it and make excuses and have that inability to even apologize and let things go. So, you know, you've got to take responsibility. And you've got to also have that ability to let things go.
Okay.
Let it go.
Because I've had friends, platonic friends, male friends, who will tell me sometimes that their missus always accuse them of cheating. And sometimes they say, I'm honest. There are some good men out there. And you've been a relationship expert. You know that it's true. There are some good men out there that do not cheat. And I happen to be blessed with a lot of platonic friends who are single, married, divorced, widowed, same-sex relationships. But my single married heterosexual friends have told me, who are monogamous, as I know, and so why would they lie to me? They would say that they get accused a lot of cheating when they're not cheating. Sometimes they so innocently please to say, well, maybe I should be cheating just because I'm always getting accused of it.
Yeah.
Nine times out of ten, the person that's doing most of the accusing is doing their own dirt anyway. That's something I've always learned. Usually when a person accuses you and make an obsession to do it, that's because they're looking for an excuse to do it themselves.
Oh, so they be looking for that weak spot where I'm doing it. So they be saying they don't come out and tell you, but what they're saying is I'm cheating. Even if they're not sexually cheating, they might be emotionally cheating. Huh?
Exactly.
Well, if there's a person they've seen that they're interested in, that person could be one of your friends or a relative of somebody, and they always want to try to add fuel to the fire because you never know what the other person is doing when they're talking behind your back. And people have a bad way of doing things that like as such. I mean, you know, just going back to like what I was telling you about the Facebook situation, you know, all of a sudden you got these other chicken heads sitting up here they're talking against me to my girlfriend, and then they turn around, got her upset and everything, and I'm going like, why, you know, because one of them was my best friend, you know, a mutual friend of me and Bethany, and I'm going like, why did you go tell this other person about something I confided you in? I mean, you confided me about what goes on with you and your man. Why are you undermining my relationship? And I said, how would you feel if I inbox your man and was telling him about stuff that y'all talk about? You know, I mean, but you, it's amazing how some people in their 40s still act like they're in junior
children.
High school.
Yeah.
Right, overgrown children.
I've had people to inbox me that want to know if I'm in, like, dealing, like, if my relationship is deeper than what it appears with certain people, you know?
Yeah, it happens.
So I'm like, wow.
Well, I think you all
would know who I'm involved with and who I'm in who's with. I might not go in, like, Reggie, and you, like you, Ebony, and Reggie say, you don't go in detail telling all your business, but if I was in a relationship, you would know who. And I tell Reggie who I like and interested in confidence, and Ebony, you, if you're not talking private, I tell you, you know, and even on air, I tell you, don't air it in your chat room. You're telling my business. So,
definitely not.
I would talk about who I'm involved with, the few people
that
I like. Now, I choose not to say disclose their name because, like I've said, I'm not ready to get in a relationship. So I'm friends with these people.
Hear that. But listen, guys, I'm going to have to leave you because I got to go back to the day work. So I'm going to have to leave you. I have to go handle my business.
So you talked to us on your lunch hour? I wonder why you're calling us in the middle of the day. It's middle of the day in England.
Yes, my lunch hour. It was my lunch hour, and it's almost up now. So I got to get back.
Reggie, lunch hour with us.
No problem.
Reggie, you know she was in Miami a few weeks ago.
I was.
I didn't get the memo.
Yes, she came to America for the first time, so we're looking forward to coming to the UK. I've been to the UK since a little girl. So I'm looking forward to coming to the UK because she said Miami treated her good. I know they did.
Her being in Miami, I'm okay with that. But now she come to Dallas and then I don't hear from her, and then I'm gonna be mad.
Exactly.
Reggie, is that an invitation?
Absolutely, it's an invitation.
If you come
to Texas, I will give you the treatment.
Is that your Queen Elizabeth voice, Reggie?
No, I wouldn't call it Queen Elizabeth. I would just say that was just me trying to get a little British with you.
Well, I tell you
I'm
this.
I'm going to go in the kitchen and have me a spot of tea.
I think this, Reggie. If you come to the UK, you'll get the real treatment.
Okay. I'm all right with it. Time me to go get me a passport.
That's right. We got to get a passport. Ebony, are you on air Sunday? We got a flood tropical FM.
No, we're not. We're not on air this Sunday. We're on once a month. So the next time we're on is the 25th of November.
Okay. After Thanksgiving here. Okay.
Yeah. So
November 25th will be the next time.
The next time we'll go live.
I'm gonna be looking on some of your posts on Tuesday and Thursday so I can find out what time, because that 6 hour difference does put a crimp in it sometimes.
Yeah. It's 4 p.m. our time. One while it was like 2 p.m. our time, but it's 8 o'clock.
No, I think what happened, the clock went back here. So it's made it different in the time difference.
Yeah, it's like it's 8 your time, 5 Eastern Standard Time, and Reg and I both are on Central Standard Time, and 4 o'clock here.
Okay.
So when you're talking to your friends that live in the Deep South, It's 4 o'clock Central Standard Time.
Right. So, right. Our clocks go back an hour this weekend.
Oh, good. Yeah. So we should catch up.
Yeah.
Daylight saving time is this weekend. So,
okay.
Yeah, we're going to go back. We're going to go back an hour. So.
Good.
That's what we're going to have to do that one.
Okay,
well,
you guys have a good weekend.
Ebony, tell us something about sports right
quick
before you go,
because
this is a sports show. What's going on in sports right quick?
They're just playing football here. Nothing special. Nothing special.
Well, the New England Patriots had a game over in England. And,
okay, you know, the sports fans might say, well, why you have her on the line, ask her something about sports. Okay.
Well, we've been talking about relationships on a sports show, so hey, go figure.
We're
talking about love and basketball. We talked love and sports today.
You would go there.
We did. Exactly. Okay, you guys have a good weekend and take care.
You too, and thank you for calling us.
No problem.
Yeah, you have a wonderful day, Sandra.
Thank you. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
And you told her about a real name. I hear you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm that's just the way I am. I'm good at just calling people by their given name.
Ebony Empress. That's her name. That's her persona.
That's her moniker. That's a moniker.
Well, like I was saying earlier, my dad Tiger has been feeling fatigued. I don't guess I need to pamper him.
Oh, you said you got 10.